As we continue our consideration of the believer's call to godliness and the traits of godliness, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 100, which will serve as our text this morning, and also to Luke chapter 17 as we read just a few verses there before we turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 and Luke chapter 17. And in Luke chapter 17, we begin with verse 11 through verse 19. Hear now the word of God. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There ends the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to the reading and consideration of it this morning. Well, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, once again we find ourselves in the Thanksgiving season of the year, as Thanksgiving Day really is only about 4 weeks away. But notice that I did not say that we find ourselves in the season of Thanksgiving. And that is because for so many, they are not thankful. For so many, this season is nothing more than a national holiday. It's nothing more than having a day off. It's nothing more than maybe for the boys and girls, a little bit of a break from school. And on the other hand, for believers, our whole life ought to be a season of thanksgiving. Yet still, with this coming Thanksgiving Day, many, even many unbelievers, will take time to reflect on and to reflect about what it is for which they are thankful. However, truthfully, especially as Christians, our focus, first of all, ought not be on what we are thankful for, but our focus, first of all, ought to be on to whom we are thankful, because the what is meaningless apart from the whom. Now, beloved, Scripture is clear both to whom we are to be thankful and for what we ought to be thankful. Again, the psalmist says, "Give thanks to Him and praise His name." Psalm 106, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever." And that seems to be a refrain throughout a few of the psalms. Psalm 107, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Verse 8, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men." That refrain begins and ends Psalm 118. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Scripture is clear to whom we are to be thankful and for what we ought to be thankful. James in James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." Paul in Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition." What? "With thanksgiving, present your requests." Where? To God. Thankfulness. Being thankful is indeed a Christian virtue. It is an attribute of godliness. Now, beloved, when we talk about the godly traits, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we can distinguish between those traits that are God-like and those traits that are God-centered. For example, some of the God-like traits, we can think of God-like traits, those that reflect God's character, like love and holiness and faithfulness, which we will be getting to, the Lord willing. But other godly traits, we say, are God-centered. They center on God because they acknowledge and they exalt God's character. For example, those we have already considered: humility, contentment, and now this morning, thankfulness. For example, the believer acknowledges God's majesty through humility. God's majesty, His glory, His sovereignty and power, as we are brought to recognize that by the power of the Holy Spirit and brought to compare ourselves, to recognize the truth of ourselves in comparison to that. That brings forth from the child of God humility, and through that humility, the believer acknowledges God's majesty. In the same way, His grace is acknowledged by the believer through contentment. Again, recognizing that all that we have in this life is a blessing of God's grace. There's not one thing that we enjoy that is not a blessing of God's grace. And therefore, through that, through then contentment, the believer acknowledges the grace of God. And in the very same way, His goodness then is acknowledged through the believer's thankfulness. Now, Psalm 100 is not the only psalm that calls the believer to give thanks, as we have just seen a moment ago, but it is the only one that is specifically identified. If you look in your Bible, under where it says Psalm 100, I suspect most of your Bibles give a little heading there, and this one is the only one that is specifically identified as a psalm, not of David, not of Asaph, not of Ascents, but a psalm for giving thanks, the only one that is specifically identified that way. And therefore, this psalm is a call to whom thanksgiving is to be given, from whom it ought to be given, how and why it is to be given, and in all of that, it centers the believer's thanksgiving on God. And beloved, that thanksgiving, the believer's thanksgiving, first of all, is honoring to God. We honor God by our thanksgiving. It's honoring to Him as it is directed to Him. If we survey this text alone, we see the direction: shout for joy to the Lord, worship the Lord, come before Him, enter His gates and His courts, give thanks to Him. He is the direction. And all of this throughout this psalm is a demonstration of giving thanks, how to give thanks to God. The believer's thanksgiving is honoring to God, but the problem is that this is defective in man. Just like as we considered with humility and with contentment, it is defective in man because it is unnatural in man because of sin. And because of sin, therefore, we need to be called to give thanks. We need to be told to do it. We need to be commanded to do it. And again, Psalm 100 includes seven commands. Those are seven commands relating to thanksgiving to God, how and what it looks like. And Paul in Romans 1 verse 21 points to this defect in man because of sin. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God. That is, they did not acknowledge His majesty and dignity, nor gave thanks to Him. They did not acknowledge the bounty of His provision and His care, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Very simply, thanksgiving, and especially thanksgiving to God, is unnatural for man in sin. Think of Luke chapter 17. Of all the 10 that were healed, boys and girls, how many came back to Jesus? Only one. And he was a Samaritan of all things. He was the least expected. Brothers and sisters, we are so quick to ask. We are so anxious to receive, yet we are often so careless in giving thanks, and especially in giving thanks to God. So many believe that they deserve to get, And therefore they see no reason, they see no need to be thankful, they see no reason to give thanks. We see that with our nation's social welfare programs, as these are not seen as a privilege, but they are seen as a right. Yet it is sin that grieves God to fail to be thankful to Him, to fail to give thanks to Him. It is sin that grieves Him because it is desired by God. God desires our thanksgiving. It is important to Him. And we see this again with Jesus in that episode. He says, He asks, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Now notice, Jesus was every bit aware of who was and who was not thankful. Remember, they became cleansed not as they stood right in front of Him. They became cleansed, the Bible says, as they were on the way. He didn't do it magically right there and then. But yet He knew that every one of them had been cleansed. And only one recognized where it came from. Jesus was every bit aware of who was and who was not thankful. And the same is true with God, our Heavenly Father, beloved, when it comes to the ordinary, and we might also say the unusual blessings that He pours out upon us daily. He pours them out. They don't trickle out upon us, but He pours them out upon us daily. He knows who is and who is not thankful, and it is important to Him. Say, how do we know it's important to Him? Well, He tells us. We see it in Scripture of the examples that we have already given. Those are a part of approximately 140 references about giving thanks to God. That is how important it is to Him. He tells us no less than 140 times to give thanks to Him. Thanksgiving is an indispensable part of godliness. It is desired by God because it is also deserved by God. Because thankfulness is an acknowledgement of something. It's an acknowledgement of something that is given to, that is done for, that benefits us or others. It is an acknowledgement of something received. Parents, we teach our children at a very young age to say thank you, don't we? When someone has given them a compliment or done something nice for them or given them a gift, we teach them to say thank you. And our thanksgiving to God as believers is not just to be a polite expression, but to God but thanksgiving to God is intended to come from the heart, and it is an acknowledgement of God's provision. It is an acknowledgement of His care, both physically and spiritually. An acknowledgement that all comes from Him and that we are totally, completely, every moment of every day of our lives dependent upon Him. It is deserved by God in all situations. Again, Paul says in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." In everything. That means that there is never a situation that is so desperate that we ought to fail to give thanks to God, or that we are somehow allowed to not give thanks to God. Even in the desperate situations of life. The late Dr. Boyce said this, "Has He given us days of unusual prosperity? If so, it has pleased Him to do it. We must be thankful to Him for being the good, generous God He is." Now, I trust we would confess that's easy, isn't it? When we are enjoying prosperity, it's easy to give thanks to God. But we cannot forget the Catechism reminds us that we are to be thankful in prosperity. Not proud, not arrogant, but thankful. But notice Dr. Boyce goes on. "Has He given us days of troublesome trials and sorrows? If this is the case, we must thank Him for that, knowing that He is wise and gracious even in allowing such hard times." Now that's a lot more difficult, isn't it? Do you find that with yourself? That when you face days of troublesome trials and sorrows, that you are able to thank God for them? That you see Him as wise and gracious, even in allowing those days of troublesome trials and sorrow. Beloved, thanksgiving is honoring to God because He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, the greatest of which is a relationship with Him. As the believer's thanksgiving, secondly, demonstrates a relationship with God. Verse 3 of Psalm 100 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." We enjoy a relationship with Him, first of all, as our Creator. He is the one who made us. We didn't just appear like that on the scene of history one day. We didn't just evolve from a gooey mass of whatever. But David says that God, in Psalm 139, David says God created our inmost being. He knit us together. Think about that. He knit us. That implies a detail, a careful work. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. We are not our own, but we belong to Him by virtue of His making us and giving us our very being. Yet, beloved, as believers, we rejoice in that relationship with Him in that He is our Redeemer. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Again, justified in Christ, who died for us. And Psalm 100 points to this redeeming relationship. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Who is the His? The His is God. Right before that, the psalmist says, "Know that the Lord is God." We are called to know by faith and believe that the covenant God who has redeemed us is not one of many, but He is the one and only, and He is the sovereign God. And we are His. We are His sheep. We are His people. We belong to Him. We are the sheep for whom the good shepherd laid down His life. And therefore, as one author says, thanksgiving is a normal result of a vital union with Christ. We know what that means, don't we? It means that it flows naturally from that vital union with Christ by faith. But notice also the author goes on, thanksgiving, now listen close, thanksgiving is a direct measure of the extent to which we are experiencing the result of that union in our daily lives. If you and I are not expressing thanksgiving, and that doesn't mean that we are to be giddy all the time, but if you and I are not sensing a thankful heart, then what does that say about our experience of that union with Christ by faith in our daily lives? Our thankfulness indeed is a measure. It is a yardstick of that union that we understand, that we know, that we enjoy daily. It demonstrates a believer's faith. And therefore the unbeliever sees no reason to be thankful, but the child of God sees every reason for which to give thanks, because God is our Creator, He is our Redeemer through Christ, and He is our Provider. Sheep are needy. They are dependent. Notice again what the psalmist says, though, in Psalm 107, verse 8, "Let them give thanks to the Lord." Why? "For His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men." And then he goes on in the very next verse to begin to enumerate those deeds. "For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." And throughout the psalm, he talks about the fact that God rescues and delivers His people from both physical and spiritual peril. He provides water and fruitful harvest. He provides care for the needy. He is our provider. And therefore, beloved, He is also to be our focus. The focus of our thanksgiving, our focus is to be on Him, and our focus of thanksgiving is to be on Him in worship, first of all. We are called to know Him as our covenant God. We are called to know our favorable relationship with Him in Christ and to know our favorable position in Him because of Christ. And again, our first response of thanksgiving is to be in worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. That's worship language. Gladness and joyful songs points to the thrill of liberation, to the thrill of being set free from slavery to sin, to the thrill of that perfect deliverance from death and sin and Satan. And that brings forth gladness and shouts of joy. How can it not bring forth gladness and shouts of joy? And therefore we worship Him for who He is and what He has done. And our worship, we know, includes that chief part of thankfulness, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, which is prayer. Prayer is a demonstration of the believer's thanksgiving of heart and mouth, showing confidence in that only one who hears and answers prayer. Our focus is to be on Him, first of all in worship, but also in work. Those of you who have other translations, remember that this psalm, in other translations, it's not translated worship the Lord with gladness, but it's translated serve the Lord with gladness. We indeed serve Him in our worship. But all of our life, all of our service to God. Paul in Romans 12 verse 1 points out that this service, the believer's service, is nothing short of being a living sacrifice offered to God, offering the totality of ourselves. All we offer thanksgiving to God in so many ways, in our worship, in our singing, in our prayers, in our offerings, giving back to God, showing by that we trust Him to continue to provide. But also in our service and daily life, especially our obedience, delighting in obedience to God because we know that it delights Him. As well, serving others with kindness and compassion and love with the fruit of the Spirit. And the believer's thanksgiving, beloved, then not only honors Him and not only demonstrates a relationship with Him, but thirdly, the believer's thanksgiving testifies of God. It provides to the world, it provides a witness for Him. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It testifies of God. It acknowledges His character, that He is good, that He is love, that He is faithful. That's what we testify by our thanksgiving. God's goodness is His attribute that displays His love and His kindness and His faithfulness, His benevolence, giving abundantly to we who are completely needy. And God's kindness is seen in all that we have. First, all that we have in Christ Jesus, but all that we have as far as our possessions and privileges as well. God's kindness is seen in our physical blessings, for example, of health and of strength, of work and opportunities, of companionship and of fellowship. Look at, examine your life and see all that it has that you have for which to give thanks. But again, kind of going back to what Dr. Boyce said, God's kindness is also seen even in that which God withholds from us. In that which God doesn't give us. In that which He is pleased to take away from us. God's kindness is seen even in that which God withholds from us, because He knows that whatever it is, it would not be for our good. It would be for our harm. It might draw us away from Him. And by withholding it, beloved, our God protects us. He molds and shapes and draws us closer to Himself in dependence upon Him. Our thankfulness testifies that all that we have and all that we are comes from God, while also promoting the believer's humility. By nature, we are proud. We are prone to take credit ourselves for any success that we might enjoy, or the stability that we have, or any abundances of this life that we have. But true thanksgiving is an act of humility, recognizing that not we ourselves, not we at all, but God alone is our provider. Think of the healed man once again. Boys and girls, what did he do when he came back to Jesus? He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He threw his whole body, he laid it down. I believe that's significant. It shows us something. His whole self, he laid at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Or think of Colossians 3, verse 17, where Paul says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." If we have come upon these things ourselves, why would Paul tell us to give thanks to him while we are carrying out our duties and while we enjoy what we have? It's because God has given it all to us. Our thanksgiving testifies of God, acknowledging His character, promoting the believer's humility, but it also stimulates the believer's faith. And you might say, how does it stimulate the believer's faith? Well, I might say, stimulates the believer's faith going forward as we remember, as we meditate upon God's provision and upon His previous mercies, as we look back at all that He has done for us. That encourages us to trust Him for all that we need for the rest of today, for tomorrow, for forever. All because of His greatness and kindness poured out in Jesus Christ. That most valuable gift to fill our most desperate need. We have every reason to continue in thanksgiving to God, to never let up. As the believer's thanksgiving is honoring to God, it demonstrates a relationship with God, it testifies of God, and finally, fourthly, it is cultivated by the blessing of God. It is cultivated in your heart and in my heart by the blessing of God. Thankfulness is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and mine, the Holy Spirit who works it in us. Yet we are not passive. Not at all. As we are empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit, we too are called to put forth an effort to cultivate thanksgiving in all things. It is cultivated by the blessing of God, the blessing of the Word of God, and we are called to cultivate that thanksgiving through meditation on His Word, first of all. As we feast upon the Word of God daily, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to and reminds us of His history of revelation, His history of redemption, and of His plan to save a people for Himself. And that includes, as the Bible says, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's you. That's me too. Our names are not listed, each one in Scripture, we know. But yet we are there by God's grace. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we meditate on His Word, we also see His promises that were made and have been fulfilled to Israel in the Old Testament and ultimately in Jesus Christ. And therefore we may trust that all of God's that God promises us in His Word for both this life and the life to come, we can be fully confident in all that God promises. And also that God's promises are true and will be fulfilled. Meditating, cultivating thankfulness by meditating upon the Word of God, His Word of thanksgiving, which leads us in our thanksgiving. Then also cultivating through reflecting on our life. It's cultivated by the blessing of God. The blessings poured out upon us in our life, and therefore we too cultivate that thanksgiving by the blessing of the Spirit through reflecting on our life. That familiar song says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." Our blessings are intimately and inseparably connected to what God has done. Count your blessings. That's a good idea. It's a great idea. It's impossible, isn't it? We might be able to take a piece of paper and a pen and come up with a pretty good list, but we're going to run out. Not because God's blessings are limited, but because we are limited in our thinking and our memories and our understanding. We are finite. And indeed, some of His blessings are easy to remember because they are big things in life, like a house or work or family or friends or the desires of life or maybe a vacation or maybe healing from a major surgery or illness. Other blessings are hard to remember because they're such a natural part of life, we take them for granted. The air that we breathe, gravity that keeps our feet on the ground, lungs or a heart that continues to beat, and we don't even have to change the batteries. a glass of water to quench our thirst, or a pair of socks, toothpaste and a toothbrush, or healing from a common cold. Or what about just a Band-Aid for a slight cut? And then, of course, the greatest blessing, the foundation of all blessings, that we are His people. We are His sheep, and we are His people always, no matter what, because His love endures forever because of Jesus Christ. And especially when the difficulties and the distresses and the disturbances of life come upon us, knowing that we belong to Him and that He has our best interest in mind, our good in mind. Count your blessings. Write down your requests. Record when God answers them, whether yes or no. See God's faithfulness and thank Him. Again, we are so very good at asking from God, but we are often so very poor at remembering to thank Him for answers received. And therefore, beloved, may we pray continually that God, by His Holy Spirit, would open our eyes to His goodness, His love, His faithfulness that is all around us, so that always, that we always have a heart filled with thankfulness to Him when we rise in the morning and open our eyes to a new day, thanking God for the blessing of a night of sleep and for His watchful eye. He never slumbers nor sleeps. When we lay our head down at night and close our eyes, thanking Him, thinking back over the day, thanking Him for all of His blessings, for keeping us safe, for providing. Indeed, beloved, as we have said, the ultimate reason for the believer's thanksgiving is because of God's grace displayed and poured out in Jesus Christ. And as our eyes are opened to see the truth of our sin and misery and what we really do deserve, and also to see our salvation and the deliverance that we have received through the work of Jesus, we cannot help but to respond with thanksgiving to God from a new heart, by which the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to an entire life protected in His hands. Thanksgiving, beloved, then also promotes humility before God and contentment in God. The believer's thanksgiving is honoring to God. It demonstrates relationship with God. It testifies of the goodness of God. And it is cultivated by the blessing of God. The believer's thanksgiving is a never-ending season of thanksgiving because of the never-ending love of God in Christ Jesus that endures forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Indeed, O Lord, we must confess that we so easily take so much for granted. So often as we look over our lives and our living, the things that we enjoy, we want to pat ourselves on the back. Yet when life isn't so grand, we want to cast blame somewhere else. But in all things, O Lord, may we see Your hand of blessing in that which You give, in that which You withhold, as we see all of it ultimately in the blessing of the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, Father, make us more and more to be a thankful people. Help us, O Lord, to sense that thankfulness in our own hearts and to demonstrate it in our lives, pointing others to You through our thankfulness. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. And in His name we pray. Amen.